You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 22nd of May. We've got Richemont results due within the hour. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Skoglo, PSG, Old Oak, Southern Sun results. Good numbers, of course, G20, B20 helped. And I think that the surcharge in airlines, maybe not helping. But then I want to touch on mega IPOs. SpaceX confirmed for June. OpenAI, Anthropic is shortly thereafter. Any interest? How does one get in on them? We'll get Skulk's view. Andrew Middleton, he's CEO of Go Solar. Latest revenue grab by municipalities. And it is your power bill. And then thoughts for me, higher bond yields is a risk-free rate for valuing stocks. Higher yields, lower valuations. At least that's the theory. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines at MoneyWeb. Fly SAF Air to be prosecuted for overbooking flights. National Consumer Tribunal has been asked to impose an administrative penalty of 10% on turnover and to have its conduct declared prohibited. Business Day, Investec targets fastest growing affluent market dominated currently by FNB and Standard Bank. It aims to add 120,000 South African private bank clients and boost profit by 3 billion rand by 2030. Morning markets, the US was green, S&P and Nasdaq up 0.2%. The East is all green, Sydney 0.1% higher. Tokyo flying again, 2.3% up. Hong Kong just over 1% and Tencent 0.4% up. Commodities are mixed. Gold is red at 4,523. Brent is red at $104.15. PGMs are green. Platinum, 1,959. Palladium, 1,410. The rand is 1,648. Bitcoin, 77,700. And top 40 opening call, green open, 1,240 points, or just under 1.2% higher.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now, Skulk Lowe, PSG Old Oak. Skulk, good to have you on the show. Southern Sun results yesterday. Certainly a massive boost from G20, B20, which was their Q3. I thought not bad numbers. Certainly what I like about them is that potential operating leverage. They sell more room nights. That pretty much drops to the bottom line. Question is, can they sell more room nights? Your thoughts on the numbers?
Let's start at the beginning. Good morning, Simon, and good morning to all the listeners. When you look at a graph, you sort of close your eyes, but look at this graph, and it starts at the left bottom and corner, and it ends at the top right. That's usually something you need to go and look at and why. And Southern Sun is one of these. We know these are the companies that's really struggled in the COVID, midst of the COVID. And I'm so glad that these companies actually recovered so well. So, yes, occupancy 2.1%, you know, higher, 63% occupancy, very, very good. Income rose 9%, EBITDA up 12%, earnings up 19%. So that is great, great number. Just shows you, Simon, just shows you, us South Africans, we can host the party. Okay? We can host the party.
We do a party.
Yeah. 2010 World Cup, we did it. 2023 BRICS. And last year's, as you mentioned, G20, no different. I mean, it was really good. Over 6,000 delegates, nearly 1,500 international media attended. This was, they're talking about a 3 billion economic impact for Gauteng. That was great. And we've seen it now in Southern Sun's results. We've seen it in the likes of City Lodge, also in Sun International. So, yeah, it was good. But now I think, I don't want to say the party is over. At these fuel prices, I mean, people are going to think twice before traveling.
Yeah.
This was good. I mean, they mention it in this report. I mean, when you look at the visitors outside of South Africa that visited South Africa, it was up 11.6%. Now, you need to ask the question, with the current oil price, with the current unrest, geopolitical unrest, will we see the same? I think the market has told us over the past few weeks with the Southern Sun share price that might be a bit of a worry. So let's see.
Yeah, I take your point. And I zoomed out on the chart. I should have zoomed out more. Man, you go back to pandemic lows. It was a 1 rand stock. It's now a 10 rand stock. That's insane. But anyway, I take your point. Maybe the party's going to slow. Let's move to some the IPOs. We've got SpaceX coming, rumored not rumored. It is now confirmed for 12 June. Shortly thereafter, I expect OpenAI and Anthropic both coming. These are going to be mega IPOs. And I worry about them. I look at the Cerebras, which was a 185 IPO price, traded 350. It's now 280. If you've bought post IPO, you are underwater. How do you look at these mega IPOs?
Yesterday I was sitting in my office, and I've always got Bloomberg playing in the background. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, you sort of get just every second or third word that you hear or sort of term that you hear, it's the term AI. AI that, and it worries me. It seriously worries me. And when I look at the current market environment, I mean, we were talking about the geopolitical unrest, the war that's still not over. I mean, we can, you know, inflation that's a big problem, not just currently, but we're looking at most probably looking at the rate hikes, not cuts anymore. Mm. Higher petrol, diesel, gas prices. Yet the S&P 500 is trading at all time highs and still improving. And this is the AI. I don't want to call it AI bubble. Let's focus for a second on SpaceX, Anthropic, and OpenAI. I mean, this is going to be massive IPOs. Mm-hmm. SpaceX, the first one. They're talking about the biggest IPO ever. And when I read through the whole SpaceX, people tend to think, I mean, it's just a space company. It's putting people either satellites in orbit. They're putting people on the moon. This is a company that's saying that they are going to become the biggest AI company in the world. And why? Because they've got all these unbelievable computer systems all over to get people on the moon. And they said, well, why not use this while it's not busy putting people on the moon? Why not use it for AI? that worries me. A quick story. I mean, I'll never forget 2002-ish, I had to buy my kids a computer. I want to teach them how to use a computer from day one. I bought a Pentium 4, got the specs.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, wow. It was massive. I paid 15,000 Rand for this thing back then. I mean, this thing was massive. And when I say massive, we're not talking about the 512 megabyte RAM and 40 gig hard drive. I'm talking about a thing that was standing on a desk as large as the Eiffel Tower. I mean, today you can buy let's call it a Samsung A35 for 7,500 Rand. Mm. It's got 6 times the storage. It's got 15 times the memory, and it's priced at 7,500 Rand today. What I want to encourage people is don't go and, you know, chasing, you know, Kruger Rands when the, you know, gold price is trading at all time highs. You know, be very careful, because the shortages that we're seeing today ultimately will end. We will eventually end up with a much smoother, you know, AI pipeline, semiconductors, and those kind of things. It's not a might, could, should. It will happen. Very similar to the computer bubble that we've seen in that early 2000s.
I like that. Don't go chasing. That's the lesson. Man, Pentium 4, your kids were, that was rocking. That was absolutely rocking. We'll leave it there. Skoklo, PSG Old Oak, always appreciate the early morning time. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Jane and I with Andrew Miniton, CEO of Go Solar. Great report out from them recently around the state of, I suppose, power market, we should call it. Andrew, appreciate the early morning time. Your headline claims South Africans are now being essentially punished for using less electricity. Walk us through how this is actually sort of representing itself on our bill that we get every month from our various different municipalities.
Good morning, Simon, and thanks for having me. I think what we've seen right now is one crisis has been replaced for another. Mm. Initially, we were talking about a load shedding crisis, availability of power, and now it's an affordability crisis. Tariffs over the last close to 20 years since this load shedding term that we hear so often has gone up over 1,000%. So that means, you know, at least in the, especially in the last 10 years, a household that was using 1,000 rand a month on electricity is now spending over 3,500, which is just completely unsustainable. And all the incentives that, that should be in place to encourage using less electricity from the grid that's under pressure are slowly getting removed, and it's getting replaced with fixed tariffs, which doesn't encourage any saving on electricity, any reduction in investment in the grid, and effectively punishes users for being energy efficient or trying to generate some of their own electricity. So we feel quite strongly that those are the wrong moves.
Hey, I take your point. I mean, the fixed charge, I mean, I'm on the prepaid in the city of Joburg. I think I pay 200 rand a month just because, for no good reason. Eskom charges 543, again, just for I mean, I'd for no real good reason. You haven't even turned on your light yet. And these are new fees and increasing fees that is, as you say, hurting the consumer, and we're not even using the power yet.
Absolutely, Simon. And unfortunately, you're one of the lucky ones with 230 rand on prepaid. If you're on a postpaid tariff in Johannesburg, it's now 1,761 rand, which we just cannot fathom. So the 230 rand is new and never used to be there with prepaid. But the fixed charges are much higher with Eskom, as you've noted, and in Johannesburg postpaid. And these types of tariffs don't exist in other cities such as Cape Town. So we're just not understanding why there is such a huge disconnect between these fixed charges. And we call in for more transparency. We have no issue with there being an infrastructure-related charge. So,
sure.
You know, you need to pay for access to the grid and maintenance of the grid. But, you know, for someone spending 3,000 rand a month in Johannesburg on postpaid, almost 60% of it, 60 to 65% of it, is related to a fixed charge. And the other part is the power they use. And that split should be inverted, and that's what we've seen in other markets. It should be 60% related to what you use and 40% roughly on the infrastructure charge.
And that's the let's call it the Johannesburg solar penalty. I've heard, and I don't know, I mean, you can confirm this, that folks on solar are being pushed onto that postpaid, which therefore gets that giant extra fee, which is, I mean, this is just essentially punishing people for going off grid.
That's correct. And we don't see any reason why solar users should be treated any differently, be forced to move to a certain tariff. Again, to use the Cape Town example, in Cape Town, you're able to select your tariff. You've got a feed-in option, so you can also sell your excess, which we don't quite have yet in Johannesburg. And whether you are on solar or not, it shouldn't inform which method of payment, whether you want to be on prepaid or postpaid. And the fixed tariff should be the same regardless.
Selling the excess, is that, I mean, does it generate much? I suppose there's a lot of T's and C's and complexities around it. Is it meaningful for someone who's able to do it?
It's getting there. It's helpful. Okay. The benefits started off quite marginally because of the cost of replacing your meter to enable that.
Yeah.
But those costs are coming down, and we'd like to try and assist municipalities in bringing those down further. The main benefit there is a lot of solar users would see that they've got excess power when they're potentially not at home or on holiday or at work, and they're getting absolutely no return then. So it does improve the returns, and it's getting better and better.
Yeah. I got a friend who mines Bitcoin when he's got excess power, which is another way of doing it. What we have at Eskom, though, and this is kind of getting worse, and it's the death spiral, which is quite simple. Eskom sells less power because more of us are going on to solar. And to be clear, there's other reasons, lack of economic growth, etc. But more people going on to solar, so they sell less power. So they rise prices, so more people leave, so they sell less power. And that really does just end very poorly, particularly considering they've got quite a debt pile attached to their balance sheet.
Absolutely. And really what we should be doing is trying to increase volumes and getting more customers. But as you say, the tariffs that they're pushing and the fixed charges, the structure of the tariff, are forcing more and more households. Our household users ask us daily whether they can go off grid, which we do not recommend because, you know, we still think it's good to have the grid and your solar there as a hybrid. But businesses in particular, big businesses, the solar is really booming in this segment of the market. So Eskom in the last 2 to 3 years has lost 4 to 5 gigawatts of daily consumption. So that, you know, that's equivalent to 4 to 5 stages of load shedding. So we've seen the end of load shedding, but it's come from huge drop in demand, not for power, but for power from the grid. And as you mentioned, the prices keep on going up and up, and it continues to incentivize people to produce their own and businesses to produce their own power, which just makes Eskom's job harder and harder because they're forced to continue to push prices up to cover fixed costs. And that then continues the spiral that you mentioned.
A last question. A listener out there who's got these insane power bills, and to be clear, I am in some cases one of them, and I unfortunately live in an apartment block, so solar on the roof is not an option for me. But what is an easy win for a household in this environment? Or is it just a really, really tough corner we find ourselves in?
Well, look, in apartments, I think we are seeing a lot of apartment blocks finding new innovative ways to get solar. You know, there are concepts of balcony solar that are taking off in America where you can effectively hang the panels over there. And those are interesting models that we've seen some companies look at, and we're certainly looking at it. Obviously, trying to keep the efficiencies in your home as low as possible, managing things like geyser timers, LED lights, those all work. But hopefully, as more energy trading happens in the market, you in your apartment block, you will have more options on where you can buy your power, and you can choose the lowest cost of power, because the market for energy is liberalizing, and you shouldn't have one single option.
Yeah,
I think you should be able to choose. So hopefully, that's coming soon.
Yeah, I've actually seen the balcony solar. That looks quite interesting. And the apartment block across from me has just put their roof is now all solar panels. Andrew Middleton, CEO, Go Solar, appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
So some thoughts on me on higher bond yields and the impact on valuations. And there's two components here we sort of need to dig into. The first is just a good old-fashioned valuation on a stock. It is worth the present value of its future cash flows. In other words, how much money are you going to get? How much cash flow are you going to get from it over the rest of its life? And that present value is calculated by discounting those cash flows at a rate built on a risk-free rate. Whole lot of complicated jargon there, but in essence, your risk-free rate would be South Africa, you'd use a 10-year bond yield. In the US, you would use the 10-year, which has gone up to almost 4.6 as we speak. It has been higher than 4.6. The point being is that using that current risk-free rate, as that rises, it devalues the present value. In other words, the value of the stock technically comes down. Now, this is a highly technical, this is discounted cash flows, this is Gordon dividend evaluations, but the theory is that higher risk-free rates does mean lower stock market valuations. And we could certainly see that play out over time. It's not going to happen in the weekend. We need the rates to stay higher for longer. But I think we're going to get rates higher for longer. This is one of the implications. The other one is just good old-fashioned competition. What I mean by that. So there's an investor out there who's looking for a fairly low-risk investment, but you were getting 1% on government bonds. So you had to go into the stock market and try and find low-risk return in the market. But now you can get 4.5% on a US 10-year. That is a risk-free return of 4.5% in dollars. Suddenly, you don't need to go to the stock market. So there's less competition, there's less buying in the market. So short version, higher bond yields, potentially bad for valuations in the market. That's it for today. Yesterday, we were chatting with Kieran Whitten. He, of course, from Anchor. We're talking around NVIDIA's results. Earnings per share, $1.87, well above the $1.76. They have beaten expectations for 32 quarters in a row. That is 8 years. And we asked you what you thought about the numbers. Half said excellent, as always. A third said about as expected. And the rest said, yeah, that valuation, it needs more work. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday. FinTech across the continent.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.